knowing that Jesus Christ is your Savior. The world hates you. The world will bring you down. The system of our culture, issues of life, can destroy your peace, can destroy your happiness, can destroy what God has put inside you. But we have the blessed assurance of God's love. So this morning, as we talk about love, February, the month of love, I want us to look at the most important love, the love that begins it all, God's love for us. So the title of the message this morning, if you want to take notes on the back of your bulletin, it's Freely Enjoying God's Love. Freely enjoying God's love. When I began to pray and say, God, lead me in the direction, show me which way to go with this, a verse automatically came to my mind, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love, brothers and sisters. That's what true love is. A sacrificial love. A love that is not selfish. A love that doesn't do anything for that person giving the love. The love that goes to somebody else not expecting something in return. We as human beings can't comprehend that love. We as human beings are selfish. Our motivations in almost everything we do is for our satisfaction. It's for our pleasure. Maybe 1% of the love that we give freely, not expecting anything in return. But if we were all honest this morning, our motivation for loving people, our motivation for loving God, our motivation for loving our spouses and our families, most of it is selfish love. We do what we do hoping it reciprocates back to us. We say what we say. We think what we think, hoping to get something back in return. May I tell you, that's not the type of love God has for us. God has love for us, not hoping we give something back to him. It's a sacrificial love. And I want us to see this morning how we can freely enjoy that love. How many of you would like to have love without having to worry about any side effects? Who would you like to have kind of love? Without any strings attached. Let's look at that love that God has given to us this morning. Freely enjoying God's love. Number one, freely enjoying God's love. Remember that God has given us his Holy Spirit. Remember that God has given us his Holy Spirit. Look at Romans with me, if you would, chapter 5. Remember that God has given us his Holy Spirit. Chapter 5, verse number 5. And it says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the first way to enjoy God's love is to remember that God has given us his Holy Spirit. God has given you his Holy Spirit. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, on the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, driving home, at church, at work, wherever you were, that very instant that you placed your faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior. You acknowledged the fact that you couldn't save yourself. From the very instant you did that, the Bible clearly teaches that the Holy Spirit enters into us, never to leave. God has given us the Holy Spirit as the earnest, as the understanding of what is to come. The Holy Spirit's our instructor. The Holy Spirit's our convictor. The Holy Spirit's our encourager. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit resides in each and every single believer. Regardless of what denomination, regardless of what your ethnic background is, regardless of your socioeconomic status, regardless of your gender, the Holy Spirit comes to reside inside of you the very instant that you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. And He's the one that reminds us of the love that God has given to us. You remember that day you trusted Jesus? Do you remember it? No matter how far back it was, you remember the excitement and the fulfilling, just the peace that came upon you, saying, realizing, you know what, hey, I'm forgiven. Hey, I don't have to deal with this anymore. Hey, I'm going to heaven. How many of you remember that day? But you know what's so easy to forget that day? It's so easy to forget what God has done. You know why? Because this thing called sin, this issue in our life, that when we get saved, we're on fire and we're ready to go, and we get back into the world and we have to live everyday life, and sin comes at us from all directions. It hits us at work. It hits us at home. It hits us at church. It hits us in the community. And sin just bashes upon us. There's times we deflect it by relying upon the armor of God, but there's a lot of times we let it come in. There's a lot of times we freely allow it to inject itself into our lives. And we're living in sin and we're dealing with sin. And what happens is sin slowly erodes the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, quench not the Spirit. Now the word quench does not mean completely squash out, because you can't completely squash out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in you forever. But what happens is sin, and our allowing sin, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, lust, you start going down the line, we allow sin to quench the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5 real quick. Let me show you something. We're going to come back to Romans in just a moment. But Galatians chapter number 5, let me show you something here. Something very key that you need to understand. Now, they're not going to put the verses on the board, on the screen. You got to look at it yourself, okay? So I encourage you to bring your Bibles. Galatians chapter 5 goes through all the things that the flesh is, and then Paul says, here's what the Spirit gives you. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. The first three, love, joy, and peace. So when God saves our soul, the Holy Spirit comes in, and the first thing He gives us is love. The love of God. And with that comes joy. Yes, we got the love of God, and we got the joy, and then we get peace. But what happens is, as we begin to quench the Holy Spirit in our lives through wanton sin or unintentional sin, what happens is the peace starts to erode in our lives. We get ourselves involved in things that we shouldn't be getting ourselves involved in. We allow issues of life to come in, whether it's the death of a loved one, it makes us angry. Maybe it's a friend who turns away from us. Maybe it's a job that's taken away. Maybe it's a financial, whatever the situation is. And what happens is that takes place in our lives, and we allow it to take root, and it takes away the peace. It takes that away. And then when our peace goes away, guess what's next? Our joy leaves us. And as our joy starts to evaporate, we start lashing out. And we start getting angry. And we make decisions and do things based upon our anger and our hurt, because the peace is gone. Our joy is eroding. And then look at the very next thing to go is the love of God. Then we start to get set in our minds, and the Holy Spirit's not doing this, but it's Satan himself. He starts to speak to our saying, listen, God doesn't love you. He really doesn't love you, because if you were really a child of God and He really loved you, He wouldn't let this happen. He wouldn't allow you to go through this if He really loved you. And the Holy Spirit saying, no, I'm here. God loves you. But the world and Satan's system starts to erode the peace, the joy, and then the love of God starts to be dissipated, we think. And then we're so far in sin, we think, how could God really love me?
How many of you love that song, Amazing Grace? Most of you know the background behind it. If you don't, let me quickly tell you. John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, he was a slave trader. He was a man who operated ships and was captains of ships that took African Americans, loaded them and captured them in the jungles, took them back to England and Europe, and sold those human beings as slaves. He gladly did it. He got paid a lot of money to do it. He lavished in the benefits of it. And that's what he did for a living. He was wicked. He was nasty. He was ungodly. He didn't care about anybody else but himself. Yet God still loved him. That's why when he wrote the words, "Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me," he finally realized that the God of the universe could love even him. How many of you have been in the slave trade recently? Anybody? Phew, good, no hands. How many of you have murdered anybody lately? Did you know that God loves you just as much as he loves a murderer? A slave trader? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God loves you forever. And he'll never stop. And why we begin doubting the love of God is we stop losing that peace and that joy that comes from the Holy Spirit living inside of us. May I tell you that you can freely enjoy the love of God when you finally realize that, guess what? I've got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And the Holy Spirit, if he convicts you about something, if he deals with your heart about something, get it right. Get on your knees, literally or figuratively. Whatever you got to do, confess it to God and say, "Oh God, forgive me for whatever you're doing." And say, "God, I want that love and that joy and that peace to return. I desperately need it." I've got a feeling we got some folks in here this morning battling with this right now. You don't sense the love of God in your life anymore. It was once a burning passion, but it's gone. You know what? It doesn't have to be. You can renew it this morning. Get rid of that excess baggage. Get rid of it. I used to be able to jump and dunk. It's hard to believe. About 40 pounds ago and 30 years ago, I actually was able to dunk a basketball. But the years and the weight have kept me from doing that joy anymore. So what do I need to do? Lose the weight. I can't lose the years to experience that joy again. I know that's silly, but you're carrying around a luggage and a baggage of things that you can easily get rid of if you'll acknowledge to God and get it right with him to let that joy return, the peace and the love of God this morning. Look at number two. The second way to enjoy God's love is remember his timely death. Remember his timely death. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Remember his timely death. Paul was writing to the Romans. The city of Rome was the center of Rome. It was the center of all the things. It was a Gentile, mostly Gentile. Some Jews were there. He was writing, dealing with all kinds of issues in these people's lives. He was in Corinth at the time, and he was getting ready to go to Rome. And he was telling them, "Hey, listen, here's some issues in your life. Don't listen to the Judaizers." Matter of fact, the Romans were getting sick of polytheism. In other words, they were starting to discount the fact that there was many gods, and they were looking for truth. And the Judaizers were coming in saying, "Yes, you could worship God, but what happens is if you worship God, you've got to follow these Ten Commandments, and you've got to follow these rules and regulations." And they were telling the people that. And so the people, in order to be right with the one and living God, they decided, hey, they're going to follow a bunch of rules and regulations to make them happy. May I tell you? Rules and regulations don't make you happy. Following a statement or following a set of standards does not bring you love. It only brings burdens. But look what it says here in Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. It says this: for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When we were weak in our sins, when we could not accomplish anything in ourselves, Christ died for you. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4 real quick. Let me show you. Galatians chapter 4. Now, I've written these things on the board for you so you can write them down. You can go back and study them more extensively. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 3. He says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The law cannot save you. Keeping the Ten Commandments, keeping the Beatitudes, keeping all the things of the Bible says, thou shalt and thou shalt not, that will not save you. All that will do is show you just how incapable you are of living it. You want to get frustrated? Try to live the Beatitudes. You get Matthew chapter 5 and begin in verse number 1. You start reading down there thinking, well, I'm going to live this way. You're going to get so frustrated, you're going to want to give up. You're going to say, good night, I can't do that. Exactly. You cannot. It will not save you. Only trusting Jesus will save you. For you are saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, Brother Brian, I keep Matthew chapter number 5. I keep the Ten Commandments. Well, good. Woohoo! Man, you're still going to die and go to hell without Jesus. So here's the thing. Remember, Christ died right on time. Well, when was that? Exactly when God wanted him to die. It's timely. Never too early, never too late. And can I help you with this too? God's always on time. Never late. He's never too early. How many of you have a problem with patience? This is your prayer request. God, I want patience and I want it now. Some of you are hanging your heads. Oh, it's me. May I tell you, I'm the founding member of that club. Guess what? God is never late. You can freely enjoy his love, knowing that his timing is perfect. Well, Brother Brian, I want this, and I want that. Let God do it. He loves you so much. He's got everything perfectly timed. Everything. Everything. Look at number 3. 15 more to go. Amen. Go back to Romans 5 with me real quick. Number 3. Verse number 7 and 8. He says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You want to enjoy God's love? Remember, God loved you so much he proved it. I've yet to be at a wedding where the groom and the bride are taking their vows, and they say, I love you. I've yet to hear anybody or the other spouse say, prove it. Hadn't seen it happen yet. It's by the love that's displayed after the vows are taken that the love is proven. I tell my wife and my children every day, I love you. And I can say it over and over and over again. I can do something ridiculous as a husband and as a father, which I do daily, unfortunately. I'm not proud of it. But I can do that daily, and I can say I love you, but sometimes they question and wonder, well, does he really love us? But you know what? Here's the best thing about it. I prove my love for them not by what I say, but by what I do. You know how you can enjoy God's love? Because he proved it. He didn't just say, I love you, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There it is. He didn't just say, I love you. He proved that he loved you. He said, you know what? While they were yet sinners, Christ's going to die for you. In the book of Genesis, you see God saying, you know what? The whole world is just wicked before me, before the flood came. In the book of Judges, you see, it says that everybody did what they wanted to do. Yet here's the key. God still loved them. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, you see that God gives some people over to a reprobate mind, letting them do what they want to do. That perfectly describes what we're experiencing in America right now. And in this world, everybody's doing what they want to do. God says, fine, have at it. But you know what he still says? I still love you. I'm not giving up on you. Matter of fact, I sent my son to die for you. That's how much I love you. You want to enjoy God's love? Do you really want to enjoy it? Remember, he proved it to you. He didn't just say, I love you. He said, let me prove it. Go to 1 John, not the book of John. Go to 1 John real quick. 1 John 3:16. Towards the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 16. Right before 2 John. Go towards the end of the New Testament, find Revelation, go to Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. 1 John 3:16. He writes these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the way. Hereby perceive or understand we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He didn't just say, I love you. He said, I'll prove I love you. I'm going to lay down my life for you. Now, the second part of that verse is another sermon that we'll get to later on. But I want you to focus on is this. God said, I love you. And let me prove to you how much I love you. I'm going to die for you. But he didn't stay dead. He's alive right now. And every Sunday we celebrate that. Every Sunday is Easter. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. When we meet, we gather to say, thank you, God, you're alive. Thank you that you're in control. Thank you. I want to celebrate your resurrection. Because my Savior is alive. How about yours? Let's try it again. My Savior is alive. How about yours? There we go. You can freely enjoy his love because he proved it to you. Look at the fourth point real quick. Number four. Go back to Romans chapter 5. You can enjoy God's love by remembering what our future holds because of his love. Verse number 9 of chapter 5 of the book of Romans, he says this. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? The wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, We were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Guess what? If you're under the blood of Jesus, you're not facing any wrath from God. The wrath of God has been taken care of by the blood and the death of Jesus Christ. So when you die and go to heaven, which we've been talking about recently, God's wrath will not exist for you. How many of you have had the wrath of a parent before on you? How many of you remember sitting at home so scared to death, your mom and daddy coming home? Some of you too often than you want to think. All my wife has to tell my JT when he's in trouble is, I'm going to call your daddy. I saw a video on YouTube, on America's Funniest Home Videos. Little girl sitting there on the bed dancing around and playing, and mama's saying, go to bed, go to bed. And she's ignoring her. And all she has to do is, okay, I'm going to call your daddy. She lays down. May I tell you that the wrath of God lays on everybody who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, say, wait a minute, wait. You're talking about God's love. How can God be wrathful? Our God's a holy and just and righteous God. And Jesus died to assuage that wrath, to take care of that wrath. It's freely given, but guess what? Either Jesus takes care of the wrath for us, or we take care of the wrath. I remember clearly my dad coming home, and I knew I was in trouble, and I so desperately wanted my mom to intercede for me. Because then I knew my dad's wrath would be dissipated. Jesus came to dissipate God's wrath, if I can use it that way. He came to save you so you can freely enjoy God's love. Because guess what? The Bible clearly teaches it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. If you're trusting Jesus, there is no wrath when you die. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, the wrath of God is all over you, despite of God's love. But Jesus came to die to take care of that wrath. Thank God he did that. Number five, the fifth way to freely enjoy, verse number 11, remember where true joy comes from. Remember where true joy comes from. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. In other words, we've been restored to divine favor. That's where joy comes from. Restored to divine favor. You know what divine favor is? Being able to walk up to the king's door, knocking, and him saying, come on in, my child. You belong here. That's what divine favor is. Going to God and saying, oh God, and him saying, I hear you, my child. What you need? What can I do for you? Joy comes. True joy comes by being restored to divine favor. And you can enjoy God's love by remembering you've been restored to divine favor. You have access to God anytime. One more scripture to go to. Go to Hebrews real quick. Let me show it to you. Hebrews chapter number 10. One more. Hang on. You're doing well. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 14. We're going to start there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 14. It says, for by one offering, he, Jesus, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. whereof the Holy Ghost, who is also witness to us, there he is living inside of us, for after that he had said before, and here's what he said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. For where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he, Jesus, hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering. You can come to Jesus. You can come to God through Jesus anytime you want. Daddy! Yes, my child. I love you. Oh, Daddy, thank you. You can enjoy the love of God because that's where your joy comes from, what Jesus has done. But may I warn you, oh, precious soul, maybe perhaps this morning your soul is not saved. You don't have that joy. You have no access to God on your own. It's gone. It's not even existent. Because you've not been covered by the blood of Jesus. But today that can change. You can acknowledge your sin, say, oh God, I've sinned. Please forgive me. I repent. Oh God, please save me. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Because the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then you can have the joy. Woo! How many of you have that joy? Hey, tell your face. I don't feel like it, Brother Brian. I understand. But I'm glad my salvation is not based upon my feelings. I'm glad my salvation is based upon my Savior, Jesus Christ. You want to enjoy God's love? Do you really want to freely enjoy God's love? I've given you 5 easy steps. Now there's billions more. Take these home, these scriptures home, reread them, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you this morning. Now we're done for the moment. Now look at me just a second, if you would, please. We're done. Some of you are not enjoying life. And it's evident. Your family members know it. Your co-workers know it. Your fellow church members know it. God knows it. And truth be told, you know it. May I tell you, you're free to enjoy God's love today, but you've got to do it the way God wants you to do it, not yourself, not my way, but God's way. The altar is open. You can come forward this morning, fall on your knees and say, oh God, help me. You can stay where you're at and say, oh God, help me. But whatever you got to do, do it. I want the joy back. How about you? I want to freely enjoy God's love. It's possible. Now, take this message, God's word message, not my message. Take this message and share it with somebody else that doesn't know this. Friend, family member, co-worker, share it with them. Because I'm sure that we could think of somebody who needs this. Not my message, God's message. That's where the love comes from. Let's all stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed real quick. What a joy it is to know that God loves you. What a peace that passes all understanding. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you a question this morning. Please, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want to ask, because I don't want to be embarrassing to anybody. But honestly this morning, how many of you have had trouble freely enjoying God's love? Just raise your hand this morning. Just, you've been struggling lately. I see those hands. It's honest. There's no condemnation here. I see those hands. Thank you. It's hard for you to freely enjoy it because of all kinds of issues. May I tell you this morning, it's okay. Come back to God. Tell him. He knows. Let him do the work that needs to be done. Father, you know our hearts. You know the struggles and the pains and the anguish. Lord, you know the celebration that some of us are enjoying right now. I'm asking you to do the work that only you can do. I've given your word. Now you're the one that can do these things. Please do that. Comfort, guide, protect, convict, save. Because it's you that does it, not me. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.